today we're coming from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah was a prophet who had a difficult situation, even though he was sharing the word of God. He was sharing it in a land that had neglected God for so long. And he had some complaints to God about what he was doing and who he was ministering to. So in the 12th chapter of Jeremiah, he takes his complaints to God. And it's interesting. I think that this is a message that God has laid on my heart that is timely for a time as this, because I'm going to go ahead and give you the title now. The title now is, Life Ain't Fair. So we don't need to blame God. And Jeremiah is questioning the prosperity of the wicked in this passage. He's questioning the prosperity of the wicked. You know, at this time we have so many opportunities to question what is going on. We question the truthfulness of certain people that we should be trusting. We question, why is God allowing a lot of things to happen? And that's not unique to just us. As we look through the word, we see that questions arose like this. And in Jeremiah's situation, I have a few takeaways I want you to have as we start out. Number one, well, first of all, when we worry about the prosperity of the wicked folks, number one, it causes us to question God's ability. That's the first point. It causes us to question God's ability. But the second thing it does, it causes God to question our capability. It causes God to question our capability. So when we worry about the prosperity of wicked folks, it is something normal to do. But life is not fair, but it is still life. Therefore, let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. I just pray that you be with me, Lord, as I attempt to share your word. And I pray that as I share your word, Lord, that it enters the hearts and minds of all those who are listening and watching. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of what is going on, you are still present. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are times in life that we feel like we have played by all the right rules. We pray every morning. We treat people right. We do everything we can to live a God-fearing life. But even in spite of that, we still have situations in our life that question, why are other people succeeding and I appear not to be succeeding? It might be that we are in a job that depresses us. It might be that our children are acting strange. We might have a spouse who is delusional. Our finances might be in default. Our social life might be a dud because of the pandemic. Sometimes we just want to cry out and say, life is not fair. Sometimes we are tormented by thoughts and things like, if I was a little bit richer, I wouldn't be in this situation. If I was a little bit younger, I wouldn't have the aches and pains of the body. If I was 30 pounds lighter, I would have more stamina or more self-esteem. As children, you know, when we didn't get what we wanted, we pouted. And we said, that's not fair. As children, we used to get treats. Sometimes those treats would come in the form of a Cracker Jack, Cracker Jacks. And some of us boomers, we remember what Cracker Jacks are. It's that little popcorn caramel candy that has nuts inside of it. You open the box and there's always a prize in the box. And sometimes we rip open the box. And before we even ate any of the Cracker Jacks, we would look for the prize. And occasionally you would get a good prize, but sometimes it was a prize that you did not need. But you know, you'd say, it's not fair that somebody else got a good prize and I did not. But I'm here to remind you that no matter how hard we try, there is no guarantee of a good prize at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box. And in this life that we are living, there is no guarantee that things will be easy. But there is one guarantee that God will be with us. As we look through the Bible, we see people who have every reason to shout and say, life is not fair. When God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, I believe they could have said, life is not fair. Job, in spite of all that he had done in his devotion to God, and when everything went wrong in his life, he could have said, life is not fair. Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, Lord, I was minding my own business when you called me. Life is not fair. The Hebrew boys facing the fiery furnace could have very well said, life is not fair. So you get where I'm going with this. But sometimes we think that life is not fair. But all we got to do is look through scripture and we'll see others that felt the same way. But I want to remind you also that when Jesus was beaten, when he was hung on the cross, he very well could have said, life is not fair. But they all got through this because they had a relationship with God. So as we look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah is at a point in his life when he's kind of saying, life is not fair. And we're in the 12th chapter of Jeremiah. Now, there's some things that happen in Jeremiah chapter 11. In the 11th chapter, there was a conspiracy of individuals in Judah who intentionally disobeyed God's covenant and resisted the reforms that King Josiah had done years earlier. Not only that, there was a conspiracy of Jeremiah's home folks, people from his hometown, to kill him, to silence his word, to silence him sharing the truth with them, to silence him from convicting them through the word of God. You know, we're taught that God blesses the obedient and judges the disobedient. But sometimes it seems like the opposite is happening to us. So therefore, let us look at Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. So when we worry about the prosperity of the wicked, when we worry about how the wicked seem to be succeeding, it causes us to question God's ability. In that first verse of Jeremiah 12, righteous are you, Jeremiah is saying, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead to you. Yet let me talk to you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? First of all, Jeremiah is doing the right thing. If you have a question, talk to God about it. If you have a question, talk to God about it. But he is sharing some observations he has. And that observation is, why do the wicked prosper? Why do those we know or acting wickedly seem to get their way? Why do they seem happy in the midst of a pandemic? Why do they seem happy? Now, he was not the only one to have this question. In Job chapter 21, verse 7, Job said, "Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power." He's asking, Lord, why do the wicked live a long life? Why do they become mighty? Psalm 73, starting at verse 3, the writer says, "For I was envious of the boastful when I saw their prosperity of the wicked. For there was no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men." So you see, Jeremiah is taking his question to God as others have taken their questions to God, as we today take our questions to God. Why do the wicked prosper? And why are the ones who deal so dishonestly, why do they seem happy all the time? Why do they seem to get what they want, but yet I'm faithful and things don't seem to be going my way? In verse 2, Jeremiah says, "You have planted them, yes, and they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their minds." That's an interesting passage. As he's sharing with God, he's saying that you have planted them. Yes, the wicked are among us, my brothers and sisters. And they have taken root. They appear to be like us, but they aren't like us. God planted the wicked, they rooted, and they are growing, and they bear fruit materially. We see the prosperity of the wicked. Why is this allowed to continue to happen? And I like that last part of verse 2. You are near their mouth, but far from their minds. In other words, they can say things about you. They can use your name. They can quote scripture. But you are far from their minds. They're not thinking about you. They can claim that things are happening as miracles from God, but God, you are far from their minds. And in verse 3, Jeremiah says, "But you, O Lord, you know me. You have seen me. You have tested my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the days of the slaughter." He is pleading. He's saying, "Lord, you know my heart. You know me. I've done everything you wanted me to do. I went to places that you wanted me to go. I shared your word with people. I reminded them that they were wicked, and I implored them to change their evil ways, but yet they still kept on. You know me, Lord. You've seen my work. You have tested my heart towards you. Lord, pull them out. Take them away." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Take them away. You know, sometimes we see God as unfair, as unaware, or maybe even turning a blind eye to the show that people are putting on. But I'm here to tell you, God knows what's going on. And he will deal with things in his own time, not our time. Verse 4, "How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and the birds are consumed for the wicked of those who dwell there, because they say he will not see our final end." He's saying that the land is distressed because of the sins of the leaders, and the innocent suffer along with the ungodly. Isn't that an interesting thought? that when the land is distressed because of the sins of the leader, the innocent suffer with the ungodly. Their life is being sucked out from them because of the wickedness of the ungodly. So therefore, Jeremiah is saying, how long will the land mourn? How long will we mourn in the midst of the pandemic? How long will we mourn? How long, Lord? How long? So again, when we question God, when we look at the prosperity of the wicked, and it causes us sometimes to question God's ability. But I want to share a flip side of that. In verses 5 and 6, because when we focus so much on the prosperity of the wicked, it can cause God to question our capability. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet, and he had a mighty task. And not many are called to the task that he had. But I contend today that wherever we are with our relationship with Christ, wherever we are with the gifts that God has given us, we need to make sure we stay in that lane. We need to make sure that we do what God has laid on our hearts to do. We need to rest assured that God will take care of it. Because when we question God's ability, it can cause him to question our capability. Let's look at verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplains of the Jordan? Now, it's interesting in the answer from God to Jeremiah. It's interesting to know that we don't live for explanations from God. We live on the promises of God. But we see a few truths in the passages 5 and 6. These are some truths that we need to be knowledgeable of today. First of all, the life of the godly is not easy. The life of the godly is not easy. It's sort of like running a race, or more or less a marathon, as Paul elaborated on in Philippians chapter 3. First part of verse 5, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? What he's saying is that sometimes it's hard to keep up in this race called life, this race based on faith. It's hard to stay on the course. And he's saying that if you're complaining about walking with men, then how can you hang with the horses? He's saying if during the good times, if it's stressful for you or if it wears you out to fulfill your calling, then how can you contend with more difficult times? Based on faith, in our relationship with God, we ought to be able to not be weary. And if you're having problems with your faith during good times, then how are you going to maintain your faith during difficult times? So life of the godly is not easy. The second thing is the life of the godly servant becomes harder, not easier. And that's the second part of that verse. And if in the land of peace, in which you trusted then wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Now, what he's saying is, if you grow weary during peaceful times, how are you going to manage when it gets real tough? I want to remind you that the same God who was with us in October of last year is the same God who is with us in October of this year. Yes, life is a little more difficult now, but God is still able. And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, if that bothered you, then how will you be in the rougher terrain? In other words, let me make it plain for us. If you have trouble walking on flat ground, then how can you walk on difficult ground? How can you walk on rocky ground? How can you walk when obstacles are in your path? Again, life is not easy. And we have every opportunity to complain about what's going on in the world today, what's going on in the nation today, what's going on in our city today. But God is able. In verse 6, God says, for even your brothers, God says to Jeremiah, for even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. He's saying that, Jeremiah, even your family, even the folks you grew up with, even the folks who know you, they have turned against you. And they are trying to turn others against you. But he says, and I like this last part of verse 6, do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. Even the one who tells you that everything is going to be okay, even the one who tries to cheer you up by telling you things are going to get better real soon, even the one who tries to deny that things are rough right now, they speak smooth words to you. Do not believe them. That is one reason we're having so many problems right now, because the leaders are being full of prosperity, but yet they are evil in their ways. Even though they might speak a grain of truth, we can't believe them because of their actions. Your actions speak louder than your words. Do not believe them, even though they are disloyal to you. Even though they are trying to get others to be disloyal to you, Lord. Do not believe their words. Regardless of the position they have, regardless of the office they occupy, does not mean they're holy. Regardless of the props they put in front of us, does not mean they are holy. But I've learned something in life, my brothers and sisters. I've learned that the more we stay with God, the better life gets as we grow more mature in God. For each new challenge of Jeremiah helped him grow in faith. Each new challenge that we go through, my prayer is that it will grow our faith. We have to run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we need to do it on God's terms. There are different types of races, and people excel and specialize in different types of races. There are sprinters who do the fast races. They do their race in 12 to 14 seconds, and it is over, and they can sit down and rest. But there are others who are called to do marathons, where they can take half a day of running around trying to reach the goal, and they have very little time to rest. We need to stay in our lanes, my brothers and sisters. If God has called you to be a sprinter, then sprint on. But if God has called you to be in this marathon race, which most of us are in, we need to hold fast. And we need to remember that the same God who is with us at the starting line is the same God who will be with us at the finishing line. So therefore, let us continue in this race. Let us take the words of Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, where it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which easily snare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That is the key. As we run this race, don't focus on the ones who are using smooth words towards you, but focus on the ones who use truth with you. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considering him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own soul. Jesus set the tone. Jesus endured the hostility. Jesus endured everything, to all the untruthfulness. Jesus endured it, and now he is on the right-hand side of the Father, but also Jesus is with us. God wants his people to grow. There is no growth without challenge, no challenge without change. When we resist change, we are in danger of destroying ourselves. It is easy. And it's okay to question God. But if you're going to question God, be ready for his answer. And his answer might not be what we want to hear, as Jeremiah found out himself. As God told him, if it worried you walking with men, then how are you going to run with horses? We have to remember that, my brothers and sisters. We have to remember that as we question God and as we look at what's going on in this world. Yeah, we visually see it, we hear it, but through faith, we know the truth and we know the giver of all truth. So just a little message from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah had this point in his life where he said, life is not fair. Life is not fair. As he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, as he looked at the success of the wicked, because you know, those who use smooth words are being revealed right now. Those who have lied about their prosperity are being revealed right now. Those who have tried to pull the wool over our eyes are being revealed right now. So sometimes when life is not fair, everything about the wicked is just a facade. But God is still able. God bless you. And I pray that this message has been inspirational, inspiring. And I pray that you pass this message on to someone else as you meditated on yourself. And let us ask ourselves when we scream at the TV about what's going on, remember that God is still with us and he will take care of it in his time. Amen.